The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost effective, Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed, and Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.
The transatlantic wage gap is growing and leaving Europeans poorer.
The average EU country is now poorer than every single American state except Idaho and Mississippi.
Plus, more heat records from Seville to Athens as Southern Europe contends with a brutally hot week, and lead cable concerns add to long-standing troubles for American telecom companies. It's Tuesday, July 18th. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal, and here is the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. We begin with America's largest telecom operators who continue to see their value slide following a journal investigation into toxic lead cables that they had abandoned across the United States. AT&T shares dropped to their lowest closing price in three decades on Monday, while Verizon pulled back 7.5% in its worst one-day performance since 2008. AT&T and Verizon, along with Frontier Communications and Lumen Technologies, which own legacy Bell telephone network assets, have collectively lost about $36 billion in market value since publication of the journal investigation. And Journal Markets reporter Anna Hertenstein says the sector could be in for more challenges.
Environmental liability is one issue. Testing by my Wall Street Journal colleagues found numerous cables that were leaching lead into soil and water at levels that exceed the regulatory safety guidelines. And we are seeing Wall Street analysts begin to pay attention. Some have raised questions about the liabilities related to these cables and the potential impact on companies' bottom lines. We're starting to see some analysts downgrade their ratings on the telecom stocks. Lawmakers in Washington are already pushing these companies for answers and threatening legislation. So it does seem unlikely that this matter will be resolved quickly or cheaply.
The telecom industry has thus far downplayed the potential risks that are associated with their legacy lead-sheathed cables, with the U.S. Telecom Trade Group saying that regulators had not identified the cables as a leading cause of lead exposure or the cause of a public health issue. Southern Europe is bracing for scorching heat today. Authorities in Italy have warned people across large swaths of the country to stay indoors, with temperatures forecast to approach the highest ever recorded in Europe of 119.8 degrees Fahrenheit. Meanwhile, Spanish authorities say that temperatures in the country's south are set to top 107 degrees, with this week's heat wave likely to affect most countries that border the Mediterranean. A judge in Iowa has blocked a new six-week abortion ban from taking effect in the state. The law was signed last week by Republican Governor Kim Reynolds, but immediately challenged by abortion providers who argued it was hastily written and contained inconsistencies. Monday's ruling to block enforcement of the law sets up a legal battle that's likely to make its way to Iowa's highest court. U.S. June retail sales numbers are due out today and are poised to show that shoppers are spending more as inflation eases. Reporter Harriet Torrey told me that economists surveyed by the Journal are forecasting a 0.5% rise in sales compared to a 0.3% gain in May.
Consumers have just continued to spend on really a wide array of things. The mix has been slightly different in recent months. You know, we've seen some months where spending is pulled back on expensive items that people need to finance, such as cars, but then other months sales have seemed to pick up a bit. So it's been kind of a mixed bag, but the trend has definitely been an upward one.
And Harriet, in addition to this being the first spending snapshot that we're going to get for June, something markets will be watching, I imagine the Fed is keen to see this data as well. What could June spending data tell them?
June was an interesting month because we saw that inflation really eased. Headline inflation from the Consumer Price Index was 3% year over year, which was the lowest reading that we've seen in nearly 2 years. So consumers are benefiting from that. Prices are rising more slowly. That puts more money in their pockets in terms of real income. So we'll see if consumers continue to spend last month and what they were spending on.
Coming up, mind the wage gap. While Americans have grown steadily richer in recent years, Europeans are becoming poorer. And we'll learn why after the break.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Europeans are contending with a new economic reality that they are becoming poorer. According to the OECD, since 2019, wages for many Europeans have declined when adjusted for inflation and purchasing power, down 3.5% in Italy and Spain, and a full 6% in Greece, all while wages have grown for Americans by 6% over the same period. Journal correspondent Tom Fairless covers the European economy and joins me now. Tom, explain this story for us. How exactly did Europe get to this point?
Hi, Luke. So it's been a sort of slow burn trend in Europe that the economy has grown very slowly over the last 15 years since the global financial crisis. And in part, it reflects an aging population and the preferences of an aging population for job security and for free time. The average German is 48 years old. The average American is 38 years old. So there's a big gap in age. So the unions in Europe have for years pursued shorter working times. At the moment, the big German unions are pushing for a four-day week, and that would seem to be tailored towards the aging workers in that sector. And into that has come these kind of twin shocks, the COVID and the war in Ukraine, and how the governments have responded to that. On both sides of the Atlantic, there's been a different policy response. The response in Europe during COVID was to try and keep people in their jobs, and that had negative effects on the economy. In Europe, people had less money than before because they were working shorter hours. They took a pay cut. And so that meant there was less money flowing in the economy than in the US. And in the US, there was a great reshuffling between jobs. People left, stopped working in coffee shops in inner cities and went and worked in the suburbs. The economy shifted. Whereas in Europe, everyone just came back and did the same thing that they'd done before. So in terms of productivity, the lack of churn probably slowed productivity growth in Europe.
And Tom, these trends can be seen in the data. For instance, according to the OECD, European private consumption is down 1% since 2019 compared to the US, where it's up 9%. How are these changes in pay, as we've talked about, and spending reshaping Europe?
There is a big trend towards these apps which offer half-price food that is very close to the sell-by date or past the sell-by date. It seems like it's a good way for young families and also people working jobs like being teachers or in the medical profession who couldn't otherwise afford to eat meat as regularly unless they're kind of taking it from the back of the truck at half price. In Germany, the meat and milk consumption is at the lowest in three decades. Also, remember that Europe is much more exposed to the war in Ukraine, which is happening next door. And the impact on energy prices has really been substantial. People really worried this winter they wouldn't be able to pay their energy bills. And so they were much less willing to go out and splash out on a new car or something if they were thinking they might not be able to pay their regular bills. I also spoke to people in England who seem to be postponing parenting because they're worried about the cost. Some women are freezing their eggs and hoping sometime down the line they'll have enough money to pay for children that they can't afford right now.
All right, so some profound changes there that must be having a major impact on national economies as well. Give us a sense of what all of this means for governments and their economies.
Europe is so dependent on these generous social safety nets, social programs that are extremely costly and that are becoming more expensive as the population ages, the healthcare systems, the pension systems, and they're all dependent on growth. And if there hasn't been growth for the last 15 years, while the population has been aging, then that's obviously causing a squeeze for the National Health Service in Great Britain, for example, where I spoke to a doctor who was working a 48-hour week, making about $30 an hour, which for somebody who's trained for 6-7 years and has to pay also for continuous exams, then he's got student debt, and he's earning less than $70,000 a year. So it's really quite striking stories that show the squeeze on the national budgets from the lack of growth.
A strain on budgets, Tom. So what is then being done, if anything, to try and course correct? And what's the outlook if these trends can't be turned around?
So there does seem to be a trend towards tax increases, creeping quiet tax increases where the tax brackets aren't raised. And so more and more people are kind of sucked into the higher rates, which in Europe are very high. I think that's a fundamental challenge that Europe has as well, that the US doesn't. So while US government debt is high, there's still the potential to increase taxes to kind of stabilize government budgets. Whereas in Europe, where people are only taking home half of what their employer pays to employ them, there's less scope for tax increases. And there was a report out this month by a think tank in Brussels saying that the average EU country is now poorer than every single American state except Idaho and Mississippi. And that if the current trend continues, in about 12 years, the economic output gap per capita between the US and Europe will be the same as it is currently between Japan and Ecuador. So really a huge gulf in incomes between two wealthy regions.
That was Journal correspondent Tom Fairless. Tom, thank you.
Thanks so much, Luke.
The U.S. is sending F-35 jets and a Navy destroyer to the Middle East following a series of Iranian and Russian challenges in the region. American fighter jets and attack planes are already conducting armed patrols in the Persian Gulf to deter tanker seizures by Iran following several attempts earlier this month. The U.S. military presence in the Middle East has decreased in recent years as the Pentagon shifts its strategic focus toward China and Russia. At the same time, however, a growing rivalry between the Saudi prince and the president of the United Arab Emirates has raised concerns about the region's ability to create a security alliance to counter Iran. Georgia's Supreme Court has denied a motion by Donald Trump's lawyers to essentially shut down the criminal investigation into election interference. Fulton County District Attorney Fannie Willis is probing efforts to overturn Trump's 2020 election defeat in the state, and this latest win means that her office can now proceed with presenting the case to a grand jury. Trump and his supporters have repeatedly denied wrongdoing and attacked her investigation as partisan. A Willis spokesman declined to comment on the dismissal, and a Trump spokesman didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. NBC Universal is raising the price of its Peacock streaming service by as much as $2 a month, in the latest sign that entertainment companies are putting a greater emphasis on profitability after years of costly investments. The price increase, which is the first since Peacock launched in 2020, comes as the service continues to lose money and has been spending more on live sports and original content. NBC Universal said that the price increase, which will go into effect immediately for new customers and on August 17th for existing subscribers, will allow it to continue to invest in strong programming and remain competitive in the marketplace. And on deck today, get ready for a flurry of earnings reports. Swiss drug maker Novartis has already posted strong quarterly results and launched a $15 billion stock buyback, though its American banks, including Bank of America and Morgan Stanley, that are the day's headliners, along with aerospace giant Lockheed Martin. And finally, we've all been there. It's 4 p.m., and that work project that would have taken you just an hour in the morning has somehow turned into a three-hour procrastination spiral that now risks messing up your evening. That is, unless you cut out early and pick up work later in the evening. WSJ On the Clock columnist Callum Borchers says that with workers and companies now realizing that 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. is a dead zone for productivity, more workers are leaving their desks before 5 and compensating later with backing from their boss.
A lot of us got used to having a lot of autonomy over our work schedules during the pandemic. It's not that workers are checking out at 4 o'clock and calling it a day. They're really just sort of flexing their hours to work when it's more convenient for them. And it's interesting to look at some Microsoft data on this. They've documented what they call this triple peak phenomenon, where keyboard activity among workers spikes in the morning and again in the afternoon after lunch, as you would expect. And then there's a third spike late at night, around 10 p.m. local time, for whatever folks are working. And I spoke with one executive, for example, who said that she has banned meetings after 4 o'clock and altogether on Friday afternoons. And she says that is partly to credit for reducing turnover year over year from 50% to 15%. So business leaders look at that kind of result and say it's worth it.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.